Everybody, welcome to service, Wednesday yes. service. I'm not going to cover that many verses because there's a lot in here.
That's fine.
This is Matthew 5, for those of you that are familiar, and it starts with the Sermon on the Mount, and of course it starts with the Beatitudes. So it's I'm not sure. I don't think, obviously, it's not in Scripture. The word, you know, the Sermon on the Mount, that wasn't necessarily created. But that's what they just labeled it. It's not, there's no part in here where Jesus says, this is the Sermon on the Mount. And then the Beatitudes themselves. But
there's that guy that sat around with a pen that he put subtitles.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I have no idea who he was, but for all the ages, he did it.
So let's go ahead and pray here. Father God, I just pray. Well, today has been an insane day, just craziness, and I just pray that in the midst of this very possibly short sermon, that we can get something out of it through your Spirit. I just pray, guide me and remind me, as I did do many studies, Lord, and I just pray from what I've kind of like gathered, what it is you want to share tonight. God. So I just pray that your hand would be upon us, yes. And again, upon those that are sick and hurting. And so forth, Lord. I also, again, Lord, just lift up my friend Nikolai, Lord, with MS. With his, we just pray a healing upon his legs, Lord. In Jesus' name. So, the Sermon on the Mount, we'll go ahead and read verses 1 to 2 here. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and began to teach them, saying, and we'll kind of get into that a little bit in a minute here. So this begins, a rather interesting reality is this. This was initialized by seeing crowds, but then kind of going off to being up in the mountain with this, and the disciples coming to him, so. This is the longest single oratory, I forget the word, or how do you say that, Pastor Mike, or when you say a message, or oration?
Is
that oration of, or a sermon, I would say, sermon,
sure,
from Jesus.
Sure.
This took place on the mountains of Galilee, it's kind of interesting how, in contrast, when God gave the law, he came down on this mountain, and there was a distance that the people had to keep. And yet here we see Jesus coming up to a mountain and bringing disciples in him with a gentle voice, being very close to his disciples, kind of giving instruction and so forth. Which is really wild when you think about it, the contrast of that, you know, that this kind of like clouds and lightning coming down, and you know, and this sort of like separation that's there, mm-hmm. the holiness of God and the sinfulness of man. And then you have, you know, it really made me sort of appreciate the gift of the Son of God to us, you know, which is this mending, this sort of like meeting place where we can sort of come together, and there's this peace where you can talk and the disciple and so forth. So so it was just kind of like an interesting contrast there. It's an example of grace and truth through Jesus Christ, and grace and mercy. Again, God mending the rift between, you know, God and man. So verse 3, and again, you're going to see a whole bunch of these here, the Beatitudes. Starting with a B here, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So a lot of studies that I went through, it can kind of be rounded down if you say blessed are the poor in spirit. So when you hear poor in spirit, it's more like saying destitute, you're sort of destitute of self. It's like this sort of like a emptiness of self.
That's good.
It's it's interesting because a lot of people, there's two different teachings that come with the Beatitudes. there's like a, you take each one individually, but there's also a connection of how we come to Christ as you progressively go through these. So the first is the reality of that you're destitute, and you kind of come to the end of self, and you have this specific need. It says, those who are weary and heavy laden, those are the ones that are poor in spirit, and they're going to find rest in Christ. This is a little, again, I've been kind of like getting more, I'm kind of finding myself being drawn, mostly by the Spirit of God, to get more into Matthew Henry. I'm not usually a fan of his teachings. I don't know why, but I used to be. Now I'm actually kind of coming around to it, and I just, you know, I don't know why. And he says, acknowledging the wisdom of God is appointed us to, now acknowledging the wisdom of God is appointed to us to poverty. We must be easy in it, patiently bear the inconvenience of it, be thankful for what we have, and make the best of what that which is. It is to sit loose to all worldly wealth and not set our hearts upon it, but cheerfully to bear the loss and disappointment which may befall us in the most even in the most prosperous state. It is not in pride or pretense to make ourselves poor by throwing away what God has given us, especially as those in the church of like Rome who vow poverty and yet engross the wealth of the nations. But if we be rich in the world, we must be poor in spirit. That is, we must condescend to the poor and sympathize with them as being touched with the feeling of their infirmities. We must expect and prepare for poverty, must not inordinately fear or shun it, but must bid it welcome, especially when it comes upon us for keeping a good conscience. So there's a lot there. But it's a pretty strong reality of just understanding, and again, we're going to progress through these as we kind of go through. And in general, that's when somebody comes to Christ; they come with a certain poorness in spirit. There's also a sobriety. So at verse as we kind of go through here, I want to mention that as we go through the Beatitudes, not only the idea of them kind of linking to one another. And some people have this opinion, some don't, that it's a road to salvation through all these. But what I find interesting is how much of the Beatitudes are prophetic for not the now, but in the future. Mm-hmm. So specifically four of these verses, you know, other verses you can kind of say do, but four of these verses, verses 3, 5, 8, and 10, actually have a prophetic, almost like a faith reality of things that have not yet come. So you can see as we kind of go through here, we start with, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And then you get to verse 5, it says, blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. So it's important whether it's the old earth or the new earth, when Jesus comes back, he's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. And then he's going to make a new heaven, a new earth. So that's earth in whatever form it is, the old earth and then eventually new earth. There's that prophetic reality of what will happen. And there's a reality of faith there as we kind of step into that with the expectation. Verse 6 is, again, we're going to go back through these, but blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. And then you come to 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Again, a prophetic sort of like future tense reality for believers or for those that have already, you know, passed on. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And we'll kind of come in here around 10 here. It says, blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And there's another one here. But that, again, you have that prophetic reality, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Again, a future tense, future prophetic insight on that. So kind of like backtrailing here. We have, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Again, some say that's the next stage of reality. You see your depravity, your need, your sorrowfulness for your sins, being poor in spirit. Then you move to being mournful over your sin and having that mournfulness. It's kind of weird. Like today, I remember somebody telling me like they couldn't mourn, like they had to pray to God and help them mourn. And for me, sometimes that's like a tough reality.
Yeah.
Because I this last couple of weeks, a friend of mine, his uncle passed away, and I could hear his brothers on the phone, speakerphone, talking about it. And I'm sure they were mourning in, but it just didn't seem like they were very, you know, there wasn't like this crying out. And I'm not saying you have to cry to mourn, you know what I mean? But there is a reality that crying and weeping over others and so forth is something that should be in our lives. And more than anything, being mournful and sorrowful and to the tears of sin, being sinful.
Yeah.
So do we see that in our lives? You know, when we do something wrong, do something stupid, do we get angry at God, or are we mournful for what we have done against God? And I think we need to kind of keep in our minds not to be kind of glum and so forth, but to be mournful. Not mournful like oh, I want to stay and stick in this and be in a sort of a despondent attitude, but to be mournful of a reality of just this, you know, if we have sinned against God, and to make that right and just come before Him.
Hey, what? How do we get that out of there?
I don't know. Josh always does it.
Oh, is it a spam bot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Josh, someone's text Josh. Just let
them
know to get the spam out.
Okay.
So anyway.
By the way, please, I did not know that could even happen, guys.
So anyway.
Josh is the bird.
Huh?
Josh is the bird.
Yeah, he needs to let us know. I did not know that was even possible, so we can be prepared, like, if he is missing, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Go on, Matt.
Okay.
Go on, Matt, please. So,
we're getting the devil stepping in here.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, just rebuke you in the name of Jesus. So again, you could see these things, and again, I there's a 50-50 on this, whether they're the steps of salvation, obviously. Some would say so, you know, it's part of being a Christian. And as we go through the Sermon Mount, and we're going to have other people cover the Sermon Mount, a lot of what these behavioral realities come, again, down to the heart. And at the heart of the matter is a heart and a love for God. All this is basically taken care of, heart for God and heart for others and so forth. So, you know, a lot of when these disciples who have not received the Spirit yet, they're kind of like reading this, like, oh my gosh, this is like crazy, impossible, blah blah blah. You know, as they kind of go through it, you know, Jesus is again addressing the heart, and it's really about the heart towards God, and also others as well. But it starts the heart. So all of these things are fruits of the Spirit, which is something that when you accept Christ, you receive. But again, this could be the process of kind of receiving the Spirit of God of through salvation. So then all of a sudden, you know, you think about it, it says, blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. And it's just a matter of, throughout my life, I've noticed, you know, there's some people that are very strong and obnoxious, as the Bible says that, you know, if you have not love, you're a noisy, you're making noise, basically. And the idea of, like, when I see people that are very gentle and not laissez-faire and not careless, but they have a gentleness towards everything and they're not rushed and they're not, you know, loud and obnoxious, it's always been sort of like the fruit of the Spirit. And again, here you have this prophetic reality, you shall inherit the earth. That the, I mean, really think about it, when the day comes and the wicked are removed from the earth, we're going to see a world of gentle people. It's going to be pretty interesting. So in our lives and how we walk, keeping that gentle spirit in the midst of the most rabid unbeliever, you know. Blessed are those who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Now, you can be hungry and thirsty for self-righteousness. We see a lot of that in the world. But the righteousness that we hunger for is really the hunger and thirst for God, because he is our righteousness. And upon hungering and thirsting for God, that righteousness will be, you know, that's how we are made righteous through Christ. And being with God and communing with him is a reality of our righteousness is through him, and through him empowering us to be righteous. And just, you know, what satisfies you, you know, and it's a great promise, because it's like, if you do seek and thirst for righteousness, you will be satisfied. You will be satisfied with God. It's a promise of satisfaction. Seeking after God, you know, and earnestly praying. I've done this a lot lately, just kind of praying to God. Like, I just want, you know, here's the situation, God. I'm not going to mince words about it. Lord, how can we make this right, you know, or this or that, you know, and just having that attitude to approach him. But spending time with God, and you will find yourself satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. There are many parable, you know, talk about in the Bible in regards to landowners, you know, that are just, you know, they get forgiven a great debt, and then they kind of take the same person and hypocritically attack them and say, you owe me this and give it to me now. And it's just a matter of understanding that, why do we have mercy? You know, why are we merciful? Is because of the example of God's mercy towards us. And that's a reality that we have to keep reminding ourselves throughout our day. When we go through our lives and we see, like, I just coming here today, is pouring rain, crazy weather, slippery roads. Yes. And there's that one guy that's got a trail behind you as you're making your way through Indiana. And I was just like, you know, there's a part where I had to just kind of let go, because this guy basically risked his life and others by zipping around me because I wasn't going 70 miles an hour, I guess. And then passing out a lane that you can't pass. You just kind of think about that, and you get angry, and you're like, okay, I gotta understand, kind of just reflect back on Christ and see the mercy that we have. Yes. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So much of what you will continue to, as we're going to go through the Sermon on the Mount, it's all about the heart. It is always about the heart. And, you know, on the day of judgment, you know, the heart will be revealed for what it is. Was it just kind of earning its way to heaven, or was the heart truly seeking after and wanting God above all things, wanting Jesus? And that's the one thing I kind of, you got to keep in your reality, is in the end of the day, after all these things, God's going to be looking at the heart, and the heart, the pure heart, are going to see God. Again, another prophetic sort of future tense verse there. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. The ultimate peacekeeper, obviously, is Jesus Christ. I've always been, they always say the middle kid is the peacemaker. my friend Evans, he's a middle kid too, so it's great to see another peacekeeper friend, you know, who's always trying to make peace. And I think it's just, I try as much as I can in my life to do it. But I mean, again, this peace, can you make peace, even try to make peace with someone that kind of like blows you off and attacks you? I noticed that ever since I became a believer, how much, even in family fights and this and that, I would try to bring peace in the midst. And that was just a fruit of the Spirit. And that's the sons of God. They're just peacemakers. Yes. It's great to know that we are sons and daughters of God, are those known as being peacemakers, not those that create gossip, not those that create conflict or, you know, friction. You know, again, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against these principalities. You got to keep reminding yourself. I've actually become the whole political movement, blah, blah, blah. I've gotten so exhausted of that, but I've watched to see, just kind of applying the reality of God's love, and I managed to end this last semester with, you know, three, you know, just knowing two or three students that were always in that lab, and that was just it. You know, they were the assignment God put on me, you know. And just being able to talk to them,
sure,
about Christian things and so forth. And, you know, we didn't get too deep or nothing like that, but I managed to, even on the last day of class, got to speak into them a little bit. And, you know, they were so thankful and happy. And, you know, and I was listening to a sermon last night. It was really, I forgot, it was part of Todd White's ministry. It's a guy, he's got white beard, I forgot his name, but he's really awesome. Man, this guy's like, I forgot his name. I wish I could get his name, but he was basically saying, like, how we are to be, you know, when people say, like, that, I did see Christ. I saw him in this man, you know, and that to me was really powerful, that, you know, you kind of like that Christ is seen in you, and they know that there is, that God is real, that Jesus is real, because they saw Christ. They saw him, you know.
Right.
Again, not religion, not argument, not, you know, sort of like stereotypical self-righteous religious type, you know, but kind of loving upon people. Verse 10 is, blessed are those who had been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. As you become peacemaker, as you, again, walk through being pure of heart, being merciful, and you are a reflection of Jesus Christ, and that reflection is hated by the world because you're basically showing them who they are and who God is. And because of that, you're going to be persecuted. They don't right. want the light. They want the light to be off.
Yeah.
They want that light off because it's convicting. So be encouraged when someone does persecute you. It's a reality of conviction, of a reality of the truth that they know is true, but they're just kind of ignoring. And we will be persecuted for the sake of righteousness. And again, we are those that are persecuted, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's kind of a reminder when you have, you know, I sometimes always wonder, like, am I really being persecuted, or am I just, like, dealing with a very frictionous world? You know what I mean? So I almost think, am I something wrong? Am I not getting persecuted enough? But again, it's just, it happens in different ways and in different avenues that you bump into people. Sometimes you're, you know, scent of life and the scent of death for those. They're kind of like just like on edge. Again, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is in heaven. Is heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So it's interesting. It's kind of also a realization as we kind of go. I'm going to kind of end here at verse 12 because I know there's so much more. It's interesting how so much of these are such great sort of personal behaviors that would be, you know, like so awesome and noble for anybody, even believer and unbeliever, but yet an unbeliever is going to persecute that person or being in these descriptions in here. Again, and all of this is, again, a reminder of when we walk as Christians, we're walking in the same path as Christ, which is being loving and washing people's feet and, you know, loving upon people and being wrongfully accused in court and being crucified, you know, put on a cross in front of everybody displayed. And the bride of Christ, who was to be Israel, kind of rejecting their Messiah. So there's just a powerful reminder, again, as we kind of end with this, is just that as you kind of go through your life and you go through some hard times where you're just feisty, like today I was just furious, I don't even want to get into it, but it was hard, and I was thinking, like, is this the enemy trying to get on me? And I just had to kind of put it before God and say, okay, you know,
yeah, it's good,
you need to let it go.
It's good.
So that's all I have. So I'll just go ahead and, Pastor Mike, if you have any words to say, because I know there's a lot here.
No, I mean, I got my, I don't think there's a, I think you really covered it well, and like you said, there's these attitudes, divine attributes that, the only thing I would add, but you really covered it, was, like you said, Christ is our righteousness. The hunger for righteousness gets into actually hungering. You're going to end up at the being of Jesus. You know what I'm saying? There's a supernatural connection because he is our righteousness. In a sense, people often look at that as behavioral. You know what I mean? But there is the state that comes from the blood of Jesus. But I believe there's something very intimate about that one, because if I really hunger for righteousness, I'm going to run into the one who made me righteous. You know what I mean? It's interrelational. So it necessarily just won't make me a moral person, but it'll make me a relational person deeper with Jesus. And I think that's a powerful thing. But no, you can pray that. I think you covered it really well. But just that was the only thought I had on that. Really cool. Really cool.
Father God, we just pray for tonight. Help us to be relational, but not religious, God.
Yes.
People around us that need, you know, comfort. They need to be asked, even as I asked that woman today for prayer. She rejected it, but that was fine. They need to hear that, and they need to see. They need to see you, God, and that's all we pray, God, tonight, Lord, as we go.
Yes.
That the people that see us. The people that see everybody in this room and everybody watching at home, that we would ask every day that, Lord, you know, reveal yourself through me as I walk outside. Because as your word said, Lord, if I am lifted up, and you're lifted up, Lord, when you're seen through us, God. So I just pray that you're seen through us even tomorrow, even in the midst of whatever craziness that's on the way. We have to keep in mind, Lord, that we got to put all that peripheral junk down. And just even as we heard in the sermon last week, you know, that you said we're rich. We may be poor, but we're rich, God. So I pray that we walk as rich men and women, God, and not look at our circumstance and say otherwise.
Yes, God.
And concentrate on just letting you be manifest through us.
Yeah, thank you, God.
Help us and guide us, whatever problems we're having, whatever issues we're having. Lord, I pray that, as I've been praying last couple of weeks, Lord, I pray that the sun would rise out of this darkness this time, God.
That's right, God.
In Jesus' name.